We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, rolling into hour number two. What's on tap, courtesy of our friends at Side Pockets, Kellogg and Tyler. How about a little college football postseason award show of our own? Yeah. Maybe we can think a little bit outside the box. Maybe we can think a little bit more logically instead of just snap judgments that are often made in college football, or maybe marquee names that generally tend to carry more weight than others. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of different talents out there that deserve some form of recognition. Maybe we give some today, maybe we don't. It depends. But we're going to go with some college football postseason awards.
All right, we'll start with Coach of the Year.
All right.
Now, yeah. You can go chalk if you want, like you said, or you can go under the radar if you want, or however you choose to define it. I got three guys here that was really crazy about the job that they did. All right.
Okay.
Number one, Dino Babers at Syracuse.
No question.
Absolutely resuscitated that program. They took Clemson to the wire in Clemson and had a really dynamic dual-threat quarterback in Eric Dungy. And Dino Babers takes Syracuse to 9-3. Nine and three, including a stomping of Boston College at the very end of the season. So he's my honorable mention. And this guy, say what you want. And we have, and people have, about the program at Baylor, but Matt Rhule.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor did a nice job. Baylor was 2-17 in their previous 19 games before this year. Matt Rhule got them to 6-6. He beat Texas Tech in the final game of the year to get them bowl eligible, and don't want to sound harsh, but pretty much got Cliff Kingsbury fired by beating him.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Rhule was almost my Sports Daily Coach of the Year at Baylor.
Yeah. He appreciates that.
Well, they were
That's a lot of hard work down there to resuscitate that. And when you're image building as well as trying to win football games, that's double indemnity, man.
Correct.
And he did a really nice job.
Correct.
No question.
Demundo.
I agree.
Yeah.
Right.
And I thought he should have got a lot more run and credit. And that's a cesspool down at Baylor. And I know that clouds a lot of people's judgment, and you just brush off Baylor as, you know, basically a house of ill repute when it comes to a football locker room and all the allegations and stuff like that. And Art Briles got swept out of there. We thought he was a devil himself. But Matt Rhule, it's not his fault. And assuming that nothing comes out unsavory about Matt Rhule, I'm crazy about the job that he did down there. But my Coach of the Year is Dabo Swinney.
Okay. There you go.
Took a true freshman quarterback, replaced Kelly Bryant with Trevor Lawrence, and only went undefeated and largely untested with that freshman quarterback that he decided gives us a best chance to win, even though Kelly Bryant, I think, would have been certainly the safe choice. And in game number two of the season, of course, 28-26 is about as close as it comes, they beat A&M. Bryant was the hero. Led them in passing and rushing yards, and now he's transferring because Dabo Swinney went with Trevor Lawrence.
How good is it when we are charged with the same task and come up with three completely different answers?
Well, that's...
That's beautiful, isn't it?
I think it is. The definition of beautiful.
I think that's beautiful. I won't argue with any of your three. In fact, I think they're very well considered, and I would have no problem with any of those three. I'm going to take a little bit of a different tact. My guy, starting with honorable mention, is going to be UAB's Bill Clark.
Bravo.
Who's sitting there at 10 wins this year, 2 years after they basically brought the program back from the dead.
Yep.
They're playing in a bowl game against Northern Illinois, which gives them a chance to win 11 games. I just think, and look, they play in Conference USA, and it flies under the radar, but I just love that story. Just love it. And so Bill Clark, to me, with 10 wins at UAB, at least deserves some form of consideration. So there you go with that.
By the way, Jordan Howard of the Chicago Bears started his career at UAB. Then they disbanded the program, transferred to Indiana. And that's where he ended up.
Damn, but, that's right. I'd forgotten about that.
But Jordan Howard started at UAB. So I'm sure
Jordan Howard, pretty good football player. Really good football player. All right. Well, thank you, Bill Clark, for that. I'm going to go Josh Heupel in the two hole. Continuing what was being built at Central Florida, going unbeaten is just, it's hard. It's hard to do. And I thought about Dan Mullen in this spot, but I just don't like the guys in the Power Five because they just have so much that's built in. But Josh Heupel, and especially the way that he left Oklahoma, he was kind of run out of town in a rail, reconstituted his career at Utah State, and now is unbeaten at Central Florida. And I know Scott Frost did it the year before, and there's a little bit of coattail there. But Josh Heupel, I think, probably deserves some consideration. And I apologize in advance for going chalk here for my coach of the year, and I do it swallowing hard. But Nick Saban is my coach of the year. And look, I know he could probably be it every year. Prior to the game against Georgia, which I'll talk about in just a second, nobody had played them within three touchdowns.
Yep.
I mean, okay, Alabama being unbeaten isn't news in of itself, but look at the way that they've got to be unbeaten. It's got to count for something.
Yeah, you recruit those guys that make you three touchdown favorites every single week.
Exactly.
That's also coaching. Yeah, I'll give you that.
And so I get it, and I know that people will say that's a cop-out, and I raise my hand. But the fact of the matter is, this dude just gets it done. And still figured out a way to get it done when his team wasn't playing well and was down and out and a backup quarterback. Of course, it's always nice to have a former SEC Offensive Player of the Year coming in as your backup quarterback. But they still get the win, and they get it done, and here they are, the top team and the team to beat in the CFP. So I'm going to go with Nick Saban as the coach of the year and hope that Josh Heupel and Bill Clark will at least even it out a little bit with the eye rollers and the shoulders.
I mean, I went with Dabo, you know, so I'm right there with you. Okay.
Right. Where are we going next?
Player of the year. You can define that however you want. This isn't necessarily who's going to win the Heisman. Who had the best year? Who put up the gaudiest numbers? Who carried his team the most? However you want to go here. Honorable mention for me, this is way down the list. Way down the list. That isn't fair either. Darrell Henderson, the running back from Memphis. He was really on display in the American Championship game because that was kind of a standalone game. There weren't all that many games going on. And he almost single-handedly beat UCF, or tried to in the first half. He had over 200 yards rushing in the first half, the running back from Memphis. Overall ran for 1,909 yards, 22 touchdowns, and averaged almost 9 yards a carry. Against UCF, he had 16 carries for 210 yards and 3 touchdowns. Henderson, and also a junior. So he's coming back for Memphis, assuming he doesn't declare it. I don't think he will. Also honorable mention, Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
The quarterback for Washington State, who had them this close to real consideration for the CFP, if not for the snow game in the Apple Cup. But he had 70.6% completion percentage, and in essence threw it more than any quarterback in the country for Mike Leach. And you can say what you want about how easy those passes are to complete, but when you drop back to throw it 613 times, and complete 71% of your passes, I'll take that as my quarterback. 36 touchdowns and 9 interceptions as well.
Right.
But all that being said, and this is chalky too, my player of the year is Kyler Murray for what he had to do over and over and over and over again offensively for his team to win games, going all the way back to the Iowa State game in which they won by 10 on the road. He was 21 of 29 for 348, 3 touchdowns, no picks. The Army game, where Army held the ball the whole damn time, he threw for 3 touchdowns and only was able to drop back 15 times in that 28-21 win in overtime. Certainly wasn't his fault that they lost to Texas, threw for 4 touchdowns and ran for 92 more yards in that game. He was, I don't want to say burdened, Bruce, but he was left to do all the heavy lifting to bail out that defense over and over again. And by the way, that was after his best running back got hurt very early in the season.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's chalky, but all things considered, to get on the stage that they got after Baker Mayfield, the Heisman Trophy winner, was the quarterback the year before, Kyler Murray had a better year than he did. So he is my player of the year for Sports Daily's award.
Yeah, we're much more aligned here. Kyler Murray's my player of the year, too. I think Tua probably deserves a great deal of consideration considering the numbers that he piled up through essentially three quarters of football.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think this is going to be true with the Heisman, as well as what we're talking about here on Sports Daily. I think the Heisman's going to end up going to Kyler Murray basically on last impressions.
Mm-hmm.
First impressions, probably not as big a deal. Last impressions here are more lasting impressions.
Mm-hmm.
And Tua was, well, I mean, he was less than average in that last game against Georgia. Kyler Murray hasn't been average in any game this season.
Correct.
And the fact that he played in games that facilitated fourth quarter heroics, you attach more to Kyler Murray winning a football game than you do Tua, don't you? I mean,
mm-hmm.
really,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, you think of Kyler Murray more along the lines of, God, look at the plays that he made down the stretch for a football team to win it, for his football team to win it. And they needed it all the time.
Yeah.
Not quite the same way at Alabama. They needed it, but they had enough done usually by three quarters that this guy didn't even play into the fourth.
Yep.
I totally agree with you on Gardner Minshew, Minshew's interesting. His story is really interesting. He's also on my breakout list.
Mm-hmm. Up and comer. Yep.
Yeah, he was kind of a breakout player for me as well. I mean, I had known about Minshew a little bit, but the way that he just broke onto the scene and played for Mike Leach, and no, not just anyone can go throw for 4,477 yards or whatever the hell he threw for. I mean, that guy was pretty fantastic. I had Darrell Henderson, interesting, on my list as well. Just an absolutely great player that you don't hear a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in the absence of anyone, and I looked defensively, the kid at Washington had about a million tackles. I looked at Ed Oliver down at Houston, who's going to be a very early draft pick, but that's different than being a player of the year. So that's where I'm going. I agree with you. I think Kyler Murray is the player of the year, and I think he's going to win the Heisman Trophy.
Like you, I think what is most recent in the voters' brains carries a lot of weight, fair or not. And, yeah, he was great against Texas in the Big 12 championship game. Tua was less so in the SEC championship game. So I think we're in agreement there that that might carry the day for Kyler Murray when it comes to winning the Heisman. Some up-and-comers, some breakout guys like we talked about. I want to give a shout-out to Tylan Wallace, a receiver from Oklahoma State, just a sophomore. He was third in the nation in receiving yards, 1,408 He was quiet down the stretch, didn't eclipse 64 yards in either of his last two games, but just a sophomore in Mike Gundy's system who, you know, had to replace Mason Rudolph. And that's no mean feat in it of itself. And I guess as far as that's concerned, if you want to, you know, go a little further, how about the 10th leading thrower of the football at the quarterback position, Taylor Cornelius, breakout season two, because we didn't have any idea who he was, and he threw for 3,642 yards and 28 touchdowns. So a couple of Oklahoma State Cowboys is my breakout guys and up-and-comers, and Gundy's going to have not cupboard full necessarily, but Justice Hill, you know, declaring for the NFL, and he's moving on. You got a couple of fairly young guys of those two as breakout performers in Oklahoma State. So the Cowboys' skill guys' cupboard is pretty full over the next couple of years. So kudos to those two guys for having breakout seasons out of nowhere. Travis Etienne, that running back from Clemson, yes, just a sophomore, 1,463 yards for him too. And I suppose you could kind of say Jonathan Taylor for Wisconsin, who led the nation in rushing. But as a freshman last year, going crazy like he did, we saw it coming. So it's not like he snuck up on anybody. But honorable mention to the nation's leading rusher and Jonathan Taylor and being only a sophomore for Wisconsin.
Okay. I really liked Rondale Moore, the receiver from Purdue.
Yes.
5'9", 175, caught nearly 1,500 yards of passes this year in his sophomore season. Was a big reason that Purdue was able to beat Ohio State the way that he did. I really like this guy. He's got and he can run the football too. I think he ran for 250 yards rushing. So he's a really versatile player at Purdue, and he's a guy that flies a little bit under the radar, but I don't think that he will for long. I think Rondale Moore is a guy that you really need to pay attention to moving forward. I take him probably over Laviska Shenault, who is a guy that is going to light up draft boards. He's a 6'2", 220-pound receiver at Colorado.
I was just going to ask you what are his measurables. He's a big dude.
Yeah,
huh?
and he runs it, and he's a 4.46 kind of guy. So he's got some chop. Played 9 games, caught 86 passes for 1,100 yards, about 12 yards a catch. Rushed it for 115. Did a lot of it out of the Wildcat for 5 more touchdowns. So he accounted for 11 touchdowns, missed 3 games because of injury, but was a guy as a sophomore at the University of Colorado that is really you need to pay attention to. This guy's a big-time player. He's got great measurables. He's got a tremendous leap. I think he's a 39-inch vertical guy or something or other like that, and remember the name Laviska Shenault. He's a Texan playing up in Colorado, and he is legitimate. And that's a team that I see a lot, and I look at them and think there's one guy on defense that I like a little bit, and then Laviska Shenault is and Nixon maybe is another receiver there that I like, but that's about it. But he takes your breath away. He's that good a player, and that's a guy that I thought had a really nice breakout season. Went from absolutely no rep to a guy that was, for the first 5 weeks of the season, leading the country in receiving.
Yeah, 7 catches as a freshman, 86 this year, and that includes 3 games that he missed, right? UW, Oregon State, Arizona did not play. Didn't help Steven Montez and his offense and the coach there. They didn't play because, as we know, they lost out. They went 5-0.
Well, they won their first 5 and lost their last 7. Yeah. I mean that gets coaches fired.
Yeah, it does.
That's why Mel Tucker's taking over for Mike McIntyre. But so it goes. Yeah. Anyway, he's a pretty good player. That's a guy that both of those players, both receivers. I don't know what my affinity with receivers is, but those are the two guys that really jumped out at me. Who are your disappointments, Shane?
You know, a little bit of it is injury related, but I think the one that just jumps off the page at you is Bryce Love from Stanford.
No question.
He missed a couple of games. you know, so that should be pointed out. But he had a, he clearly had a target on his back, but on a team that is a pro-style offense, that is to say, you know, line up in the eye and run the ball and then go hard play action with your big tight ends and wide receivers, Bryce Love did not give Stanford the luxury of a play-action team by running the ball. He ended up with 739 yards this year. Now, he missed two games. But of the games that he played, he had ample opportunity to not only run the ball, but get an opportunity to establish some stuff. And from the very early going, I think there was one game that sticks out to me. They were playing, I think, San Diego State within the first couple of games. And he had something like 20 carries for 38 yards. I mean, they yeah. fed him, and he just couldn't get it going. And, again, he was banged up. He wasn't completely healthy this year. But to have 166 carries for 739 yards and the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman after a 2,118-yard season a year ago, big-time disappointment, Bryce Love. I know injuries make it a little bit unfair, but he had unbelievable expectation coming in.
As we leave, I'll throw Khalil Tate onto the heap.
Yep.
A guy that was a big time, like Bryce Love, a big time Heisman candidate before the season. I don't think it's Khalil Tate's fault as much as it is Kevin Sumlin, who came in and made inexplicably offensive changes in the system that really that took this guy's strengths away from him.
Yep.
Don't understand it very much to the point now where Khalil Tate is a fairly good bet for a transfer for his senior year at Arizona. We're talking about one of the most dynamic talents in college football that was really rendered ineffective. So there you go, a couple of Pac-12 disappointments for you as we wrap up our coach or our players, etc. of the year for Sports Daily. All right, stay with us. We'll continue in a moment. Shane will have his unveil for the State Farm Insurance Games of the Week back in a moment.